Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you. And a warm welcome to the afternoon show. I'm Bill Arnold. And, you know, stress can be a beast, especially when it comes to things like finances or your health or maybe a relationship you're in right now or maybe pressure at work. And we feel overwhelmed at times and they can rob us of joy. But I don't think that's what God intended. And I'm so glad to have a chance to talk to Ray Comfort. He's written a book called Count Your Blessings and Stop Stressing. He's this founder and CEO of Living Waters and best-selling author. He's written over 100 books, and he's also an award-winning. He's got an award-winning television program that airs in 190 countries. I could go on and on, but I want to get to Ray to find out more about his book. Well, Ray, so nice to have you back.
Good to be back. Thank you.
Yeah. So many people struggle with sadness, anxiety, fear. That's not what God wants for us.
No, these are days that the Bible says men's hearts will fail them for fear of things coming upon the earth. And that's the world. We don't need to stress as Christians. It's easy to say that because we are living in stressful days and it's easy to get stressed with what's happening. But let me tell you a secret, how I deal with stress and how my wife deals with it too. I don't know if you've heard of the All Blacks. They're probably the best rugby team in the world. It's the New Zealand rugby team. And we will not watch our favorite team play rugby. This is going to sound weird, unless we know they won. We only watch reruns. Mm-hmm. You know, if they just had a game, we'll wait till it's finished. We see if we won, and we watch it, and you say, oh, doesn't that wreck the whole thing? The whole thing is exciting, is it? No. You see, we get so stressed watching our team play. My wife won't stay in the room. She'll go out of the room when our team is playing because she gets so stressed about it. But when we watch a rerun, a rerun, and we know that we won, it doesn't matter what happens, how the crowd go wild when the other team score, we just sit there and smile, totally stress-free, because we know the outcome. And that's the key. And when you look at God's word, we know the outcome. We know that not only are all things working together for good to those that love God, but righteousness is going to win over sin. Good is going to win over bad. God is going to win over the devil. God's kingdom is coming to this earth. God's will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And if we're repentant, we're trusting in Jesus, all is well between us and heaven. We've got everlasting life. Death has no hold on us. And that's how we live as Christians, knowing that God knows the future. And only God knows the future. A lot of people think that some people in the world know the future. We haven't got a clue. If you knew the future, you know, you're a psychic, you know what's going to happen. Just move to Las Vegas and tell us where the dice is going to roll and become a billionaire overnight. But they don't do that. Because they don't know the future, even a few seconds. Even weather forecasters don't know the future. They just take a calculated guess, and many a parade has been rained upon because the guess was wrong. And so only God knows the future. He's given us the future in his word. And if you study Bible prophecy, and it's legitimate to do that, the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, I think Acts 28, 23 or something like that, it says, Paul reasoned with people concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. And so study the prophets, study the prophecies of Luke 21, Matthew 24, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and see how God knew the whole future before it came to pass. And we don't need to stress if we trust alone in him.
Mm-hmm. Ray Comfort is my guest. His brand new book is called Count Your Blessings and Stop Stressing. I love the fact that he turned this into a 365 daily devotional. So clearly, you didn't care about leap year this year.
No, I don't care about leap year.
Obviously, because what was I supposed to do on the 29th, Ray? Come on.
I don't know.
All right, let's talk about the devotional. And if someone comes to faith, they turn their life over to Christ, what should I be expecting? I mean, I've got this devotional now. How is it going to lead me? What's it going to do for my new faith journey? I've just turned my life over.
Well, the devotional should point you to the Word of God. Okay. I this sounds like a boast, but it's not. This is in all humility. I've been reading God's Word every day for 53 years without fail. And 5 years into my itinerant ministry at a church, I once said, oh, how many of you read the Bible every day without fail? And 5% put their hand up, and I was aghast. I thought, you're kidding. Even the pastor couldn't put his hand up to say, read the word every day without fail.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, some of you are saying to yourself, I read it every second day. I said, what, you go, you know, 200, 300 times a year without reading God's word, 150 times a year without reading God's word? Some of you are saying, oh, I just skip it now and then. What, do you skip your meals now and then? Do you forget to eat for a day or so? No, because you're belly becomes before your Bible. And I'd say to people, swing it around. Be as Job, who esteemed the words of his mouth more than his necessary food. And that's a key. It's a key to living stress-free and living successful as a Christian, because Jesus said, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. He that loves me will be loved by my Father. I too will love him and will reveal myself to him. And so the Bible is God speaking to us. Us praying is us talking to God. And the Bible says, be swift to hear and slow to speak. So we should read the word daily. So my hope is that the devotional will be a kind of little entree to get into God's word in depth and read it daily, because Psalm 1 gives us a wonderful promise. It says this, blessed is the man who meditates on the law of God both day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So if you meditate on the law of God, you put God's word first, you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, you'll be like a strong, tall tree by rivers of water. When the winds of adversity blow, you don't topple over. You don't need someone to prop you up and give you counsel. You can stand on your own feet. You'll bring forth fruit in season, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Your leaf won't wither. That means you'll retain your vibrance and freshness as a Christian. And whatever you do will prosper, not in the prosperity preacher's sense, but whatever you put your hand to in your marriage, your vocation, your evangelistic endeavors, it'll prosper because you're putting God's word first and showing that you love God. So the devotional is just to enhance your reading of God's word.
Mm-hmm. Ray Comfort is my guest, and his new book is Count Your Blessings and Stop Stressing. That's a great title, and it's relevant for everybody today. Ray, do you cringe a little bit when people talk about God in such a casual way, like, you know, the guy in the sky or, you know, the big man? Because let's talk about God being holy and perfect. And what does that mean for us as sinful people?
I remember a man once came to me and he says, hey, how's JC treating you? I've just been finished preaching open air. He says, how's JC treating you? I says, who? He says, JC. I says, who? I knew exactly who he meant. He says, the man upstairs. I said, who? He says, the big three. And he could not say the name of Jesus because it has such conviction to it. And it really shows when people talk casually about God, or whether they use his name to cuss, is they have no fear of God before their eyes, as the Bible says. And I often say to people, and I do this on a YouTube channel regularly, have you ever used God's name in vain? They say, yeah, it's a bit of a habit. I said, do you love your mom? They say, yeah. I said, would you ever use her name as a cuss word? No. Why not? Well, that would disrespect her. I said, yeah, you respect your mom, but you don't respect the God that gave you a mom. You've taken his holy name, a name that godly Jews won't even speak or write down. It's so holy, and used in place of a four-letter filth word to express disgust. I said, that's called blasphemy, punishable by death in the Old Testament. And it widens people's eyes, because you hear blasphemy from the man in the street right down to the politician. You hear it on television, entertainment, the name of Jesus Christ being used as a cuss word. Who in history would ever have their name used as a cuss word? There's nobody in history, no man, not Napoleon, not Hitler, not Rasputin, but the name of Jesus Christ. Why? John 7, verse 7 tells us, the world hates me because I testify of its deeds that they're evil. And that's the problem. We've got an evil heart. Men hate God for the same reason criminals hate the police. And that's what's lacking in our society, a real fear of God. And the way to bring the fear of God to any sinner is give him the thunderings and lightnings of Mount Sinai. Just take him through the Ten Commandments. When God gave his law, he came in peace. And so terrible was the sight, the Bible says, that Moses, the friend of God, was exceedingly fearful. And Israel said, don't let God speak, lest we die. Just through the voice of God when he was giving his law. And the day is coming when God will punish those who have deliberately transgressed his law. What a fearful day. And so as Christians, we need to put the fear of God before the eyes of sinners so that they're not casual about God's name and his demands.
Mm-hmm. Ray, your man on the street interviews on YouTube are like a graduate level course in evangelism and apologetics. And I've probably watched, I don't know, 50 of them maybe. So I feel like you should send me like some graduate level online degree or something. But one of the things that people will say is, well, you know, if I say yes to this, am I going to lose out on all my fun? Is my life over? What do you say?
Yeah, your sinful life is over if you become a Christian. Go your way and sin no more, Jesus said to the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. That life should be over. You are born again, and the miracle of conversion, and this is a challenge to any skeptic, is that if you obey the gospel, you repent, put your trust in Jesus, God will give you a new heart, new desires. He says, I'll take my law and write it upon your heart and cause you to walk in my statutes. The Living Bible actually brings it out in a different way. It says, I'll cause you to do the things I want you to do without my even telling you to do them. And that's the miracle of conversion. God gives you a new heart with new desires. It's your own personal miracle, because you'll suddenly thirst after righteousness when you spent your life drinking iniquity like water, loving darkness and hating the light. Something in you will say, I want to please the God that gave me life more than anything. That's your own personal miracle, and it's evidence you've passed from death to life, and you've got God's gift of everlasting life that he promises to all those who have faith in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Ray Comfort's my guest. His book is Count Your Blessings and Stop Stressing. It's a daily devotional, 365 days. You can learn about scripture and evangelism, and you will be encouraged in so many ways, especially if you are prone towards anxiety or fear, or can you trust God's promises? And then how do we understand, Ray, just to overcome some dark feelings we might be having today? Oop, I didn't lose you, did I, Ray?
No, did you hear my dog bark?
No, I didn't. I didn't hear your dog bark. You must have hit
the mute button. She came down to my little studio here and decided she'd scratch the door and bark. I didn't know she could get down here, but she did. So I just went and threw her a treat and took her back.
Okay. That is totally okay. So you might have missed my question. And I don't know if you did, but if people are experiencing some anxiety and some sadness or fear, or maybe they're just trying to overcome some dark feelings today, how would a devotional like yours give them encouragement and hope?
Yeah, there's a difference between belief and faith. I often ask people, what's the difference? They say, I don't know the difference. Well, belief in God is the knowledge that God exists. We know God exists. We don't just believe. We know he exists in the same way we believe or know there was a builder when we look at a building. You look at a building, you don't wonder if there was a builder, you know, because buildings don't build themselves. Same with paintings and painters. You may look at a painting and say, yeah, there was definitely a painter. And even if he died 500 years ago, you actually know there was a painter, but paintings don't paint themselves. That's why you know that. And the whole of creation testifies to the genius of God's creative hand. Flowers and birds and trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, puppies, kittens, the marvels of the human eye, the miracle of childbirth, male and female, and all these species. All these things testify to the genius of God's hand. In fact, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. When we left Britain many years ago, we didn't say we're thinking of leaving. It was a declaration of independence. And the heavens declare the glory of God. Every time you look at the blue sky, the big clouds, sun, the moon, the stars, that's God's painting. So we know God exists. We have a belief in God because of the evidence we see around us. But faith in God is something completely different. When you go to a restaurant and have a meal, you're putting a fork in your mouth that's been in probably 10,000 other mouths, people you don't even know. And you're trusting that those people in that restaurant have washed that fork in nice hot water to get rid of germs. When you drink a drink they bring to you, you don't think, I wonder if he dropped some LSD in here or some poison or some kind of nut. You eat food off a plate prepared by a stranger. You're putting food in your mouth that someone you don't even know, you don't even see, has given you. That's faith. That's blind faith. When you have surgery, you're trusting a surgeon. You probably know he might talk to you beforehand, but you're trusting his ability and his integrity. When you get on a plane, you don't interview the pilot. You trust an unseen pilot with your life. Same with doctors. He says, take these two pills. Get back to me if it kills you. You just trust your life to doctors. Many times they bury their mistakes. So if we're trusting people, how much more should we trust God? Our whole faith rests on this premise. It is impossible for God to lie. That's in Hebrews 6. It is impossible for God to lie. Why? Because he's without sin. That means you can throw yourself, as Whitfield says, blindfolded and without reserve into his mighty hands. You can trust him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And even in the face of death, you need not fear. In the same way, if you're going to jump out of a plane 10,000 feet without a parachute, you've got a right to be terrified beyond words. But if you're given a parachute that you totally trust, your mother packed it, you know it's going to open, you'll have no fear. Your faith will be your fear will be in direct proportion to the faith you have in that parachute. Trust it 100%, you go, whoopee-doo, let's jump, whoopee. No fear. And when I pass through death, my fear will be in direct proportion to my faith in Jesus. The Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in him with all your heart, and trust him for tomorrow and the next day. Trust him to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and trust him when you pass through the valley of the shadow of death. That this life is the valley of the shadow of death, by the way. It's not death itself.
Ray, you're such an easy guest to have on. When you're on, I bring in an ottoman and I put my feet up and I just take notes.
You just Fantastic. Go out the studio, come back 10 minutes later.
Let me take a break and come back. Ray Comfort is my guest. You could probably tell by the accent that it is Ray Comfort, not Ray's stunt double. It's actually him. And his book is Count Your Blessings and Stop Stressing, 365-Day Devotions. We'll be right back in just a minute.
I'm Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen. I love a good story, don't you? I love a good love story, a good mystery, a good travel log. I love a good turnaround story or a story that begins once upon a time and ends with happily ever after. So what's your story? Specifically, your Jesus story. What difference does Jesus make in your life? Could you tell it as a love story or a rescue story? However you tell it, trust me, we want to hear it. We love a good story. Connecting faith to life, Faith Radio.
I'm back with Ray Comfort. His book is Count Your Blessings and Stop Stressing. I love that book title. And it's a great book. And Ray, let's talk about how important it is to share your faith with others. And tell me about this very ambitious project you have going on this summer in Paris at the Olympics.
Yeah, I love the words of Charles Spurgeon because he got me out of hot water when I used to itinerate. He said this, have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you're not saved yourself, be sure of that. And I was so thrilled to hear Spurgeon say that because it's what I believe, but I was nervous to say it in a pulpit. So I just said to people, that upset you, blame Spurgeon. I'm just quoting him. Because if you're a Christian, the love of God should dwell within you. You should be motivated by the love of Christ. And if you saw someone drowning and you had a rope at your feet, surely you'd throw them the rope. In fact, if you don't, you're guilty of a crime, guilty of a crime called depraved indifference. Depraved indifference. That means you couldn't care less. Someone's drowning. And it's as low as you can get. It's depravity. And if we don't care that people are going to hell all around us and we've found everlasting life and they're in the shadow of death, we don't bother to throw the rope of faith to them. We don't even care to talk to them. Then we could be guilty of the crime of depraved indifference. We're all going to hell. I couldn't care less. Well, how does the love of God dwell within us? And so our ministry is Living Waters at livingwaters.com is to equip Christians to share their faith, to help them overcome their fears. Charles Spurgeon also called evangelism an irksome task, and it really is annoying. It's irksome. I hate evangelism, but I do it because I cannot live a day without reaching out to the lost. When I go to preach somewhere in the open air, I'm going somewhere I don't want to go to say something I don't want to say to people who don't want to hear it, but I have to go. So we've got this outreach in Paris and was birthed because last year we had an outreach in London. We had something like 16 million gospel tracts printed with Charles's picture on the front, and it was a $1 million bill, a commemorative bill of his coronation. And we sent teams, I think a team over to London. We had about 700 people come to a seminar, and we went out in the streets with people from all around the world. And in one day, we gave out 16 million tracts. 22,000 Christians around the world did it. It was wonderful. In fact, one of my manager went over there. I didn't make it over there, but he burst into tears when he came back. He said, that was absolutely life-changing. I'll never forget it till the moment I die. And so we've got an outreach during the Olympics. 3 billion people watched the Olympics. That's 3,000 million people for about a month are going to tune into the Olympics. So we had these Olympic millions printed, euros, pounds, dollars for the US, for Australia, for Europe, for England, and we're making them available free of charge. They're just a commemorative million-dollar bill with the Olympic insignia all over them. People are going to love them, and these are completely free. People can get them, or you just have to pay the shipping. People can get them at livingwaters.com/Paris. On there, it's got how you can go to Paris with our team if you wish, or you can give it the Olympic million in your own area, if whether it be in Australia, Europe, or England, or United States. livingwaters.com/Paris.
Fantastic. Ray, let me ask you this question, because Christ's death and resurrection is the full defeat of Satan. Why does Satan still come after Christians? Why the attack? What is he after?
He's just nasty.
Yeah. Just, I don't like it at all.
No, it's a continual battle between the world, the flesh, or not between, battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world has an enticement to us, and as long as we're in this body, we're going to be attracted by the world. I battle lust every day. On Saturdays, I go to interview people for our YouTube channel down at Huntington Beach, and I go early in the morning, 9 o'clock, 9:30, because it's cooler, and the girls have got their clothes on around that time. But as it gets hotter, off come the clothes in these little skinny bikinis, and so I don't go because I know my sinful eye is attracted. So the world, the flesh, and the devil are our enemies. And we've got this battle, and we've got to realize that it's a very real, it's the real battle. And Ephesians 6 tells us what to do. We have a shield of faith. We trust in the Lord. And we have our belt of truth. Never deviate from truth. We have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Always keep your gospel shoes on. You've got beautiful feet if you preach the gospel. And tie on those gospel shoes and make sure you never, ever forget why you've been saved. It's to seek and save that which is lost and follow in the steps of Jesus. And people can learn how to do this and see atheists backslide and all sorts of incredible things happen on our YouTube channel, which is free, 275 million views. And you can equip yourself by just watching again and again, like a fly on the wall, how everyone reacts the same. There's no such thing as an atheist. They all know God exists deep in their heart. And you see how to address the conscience rather than have problems with the intellect.
Mm-hmm. Ray, so many of my listeners are people of devout and devoted prayer. They love to pray. And we've all done this where we've prayed, but we just didn't really receive an answer in a prompt fashion or immediate like we had hoped. So now we've got to be patient. And talk about what it's like when we're waiting on God for an answer.
Yeah, you can see John chapter 11. We see it. The ways of God aren't our ways. Mary and Martha called for Jesus and said, "Your friend Lazarus is sick." And the inference was, well, you'll be here, you know, like a rocket, because you love Lazarus and you wouldn't stay where you are for 2 days. But that's exactly what Jesus did. He waited until he died, because his ways aren't our ways. And then he came and he did exceeding abundantly far above all that we ask or think. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And often God sees through eternity. Well, not often. He does see things in the light of eternity. And we say, "God, we want you to do this. This is how I want you to answer my prayer." But his ways aren't our ways. And that's where faith comes in. Charles Spurgeon said, "Faith may swim where reason may only paddle." So when we pray, we've got to have patience when we pray. We've got to realize that God's ways aren't our ways, and we just trust him with all our heart, even in the face of death. When things don't go the way we thought they'd go, we still trust the Lord, because that's our means of salvation.
Mm-hmm. Ray Comfort is my guest, and his new book is Count Your Blessings and Stop Stressing. I know, Ray, we're supposed to love one another and serve one another. Oftentimes, we don't even think about it at the time, but serving others really brings us joy.
Yeah, Jesus, when he washed his disciples' feet, he said, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." And so if you want to find happiness, for want of a better word, as a Christian, because often we just got trial after trial after trial. If you want to keep your joy during trials, serve others. I found, you know, people have come up to me and says, "How do you get an itinerant ministry? What do you do? How do doors open up?" I said, "Look, let me just tell you something that happened. The first time an international invitation came for me, I was actually, as an assistant pastor, painting behind a toilet bowl in a restroom, painting it as a pastor. And I thought, whoa, that's interesting. I was doing probably the lowliest task you can imagine. And here came an international invitation. The second invitation came when I was pushing some stranger's car. This lady's car had broken down. I was pushing it. We're trying to start it together. And that's when the second invitation. So I say to people, serve others. Just wash people's feet. Esteem others better than yourselves, and God will see you. And if he can trust you with a pistol, he'll trust you with a cannon. Doors will open if you serve the Lord and serve others.
Mm-hmm. Ray, what about what advice or counsel would you have for someone who's maybe not churched and they're wanting to find a church and they're looking for a church, and where do I fit in? How do I belong? What counsel would you give?
Yeah, if you go to a church, just make sure the pastor's not a slick three-piece suit money grabber. Some of these guys have got a bottomless collection bag, and then just it's never ending. And they're prosperity preachers. Go where they preach Christ crucified. A pastor will reproduce of himself. If he cares about the lost, he'll preach to the lost, and his own congregation will get the message and reproduce after the same kinds of the pastors. So you want a church that has a concern for the unsaved, a church that's very loving. I remember the first church I went into as a brand new Christian. I was just sitting there at the end of the service, and a stranger came up to me, sat down in the pew in front of me, turned around and showed interest in me. And I've never forgotten it.
Wow.
He asked for my name, and I've never forgotten it. So if a church has got love and they esteem God's word, that's a good place for you to start.
You know, I encourage people too, if they go into a brand new church, is to be friendly. Go on the offense. Introduce yourself to somebody. Don't sit there and timidly wait for someone to come to you. Because maybe people don't know, and don't walk away saying, boy, I didn't meet anybody, I didn't talk to anybody. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real key. You make friends by being friendly.
Amen. Yeah. So we just have a minute left. Ray, tell us again about Living Waters Ministry, an amazing ministry, but no one talks about it better than you.
Yeah, livingwaters.com. We have a lot of free stuff. We have a podcast that's one of the world's top podcasts. It's four idiots that start off like guys normally talk, with a lot of fun. People just love the dynamic between us. And then we go on to very serious subjects. So Living Waters podcast, we have a lot of things on our site. And Living Waters YouTube channel is where you can, as I said, equip yourself and see atheists backslide. All sorts of wonderful things happen, and it's totally free, and it'll build you up as a Christian and encourage you.
Mm-hmm. You're a busy man, and I appreciate you taking time to be with me today. Have a wonderful rest of your day, Ray.
Okay, thank you, Bill. God bless you.
You bet. Ray Comfort has been my guest, and his book is Count Your Blessings and Stop Stressing. I'm going to take a little break and be right back with my friend Kim Cotola.
It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold. Prime time, drive time, let's get it started. Jump in your car, what's for dinner? It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold.
Welcome to the show. If you just joined me, what a great couple of hours we're having today. If you missed any of it, do the podcast thing, because you're going to love the content on today's show. So glad to have my friend Kim Cotola back on. She's not only an award-winning writer and broadcaster, but she's in the Minnesota Broadcasting Hall of Fame. So I'm always delighted when I can have her on, because she's such a consummate pro. She's written a book called Cradle My Heart, Feeling God's Love After Abortion. And Kim, I was feeling just a little bit tired from today, because I've done some recording, and now this is my fourth hour of radio. But I think when you were on the air, you did at least 3 or 4 hours every day, didn't you?
Yeah, started over. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Kim.
Good to talk to you again. Overnights might have been 5 hours. My first gig in St. Cloud, where I was Ann Jackson with the late night FM voice, even though it was AM radio, was 11 at night till 4 in the morning.
Oh, my.
So 5 hours.
Yeah, I'm not gonna grumble at all.
I was a DJ, though, so there was music. It was just like, you know, calling the hits.
Okay. So, but when you were doing radio in the mornings, because you were on the morning show a lot, were you like a, was that like a 5 a.m. to 9 kind of shift?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, that's, you do this, you did that every day.
Yeah. You got to get up at 3 or so to get there and be crisp and ready to go at 5 a.m. That was a, That took a little, it took its toll.
Yeah. And you probably set your alarm because you had to, but you probably never needed it half the time.
No, I needed it. The kids were still in school.
Okay.
And so I would come home and take a nap. You know, I'd be home around 12 or 1, and I'd take a nap before they got home from school. And if ever I missed that, by dinner time, everyone was begging me to go lie down. It was kind of grueling, grueling schedule. I loved morning radio, though. That was fun.
It is fun. Now, you have heard so many incredible stories of women that have gone through abortions, and they have had grief and guilt, and they've looked for a way to figure out how to make sense of the sin, the pain, the grief. How would you... Am I doing an okay job of representing that?
Yeah, well, I was just in a meeting earlier today, Bill, and we were talking about how abortion recovery, I guess probably like most recovery issues, is a discipleship issue.
Mm-hmm.
In that once you get your beliefs right and you grasp God's word, suddenly for me, my emotions fell into line with the truth. No degree of trying to deal with all those devastating emotions helped until I knew that God loves me and that I was already justified by his love and that he and I were okay. And I didn't need to keep earning anything from God, that he put me in good standing because of what he did for me and for us. You know, and so, but short of knowing that, yeah, it can be very, very, and even for Christian women who are well discipled, you know, it's an experience that can cause your emotional wires to become crossed. So you did that and you grieve it, but no one tells you you can grieve it. People might even be offended by the idea that, wow, well, you did it. Yeah, you made your bed. You know, if you have grief, that's your problem. No one's really reaching out to you in your mind anyway to help you with that. But so you read all of the grief as guilt. You may know that Christ paid it all,
mm-hmm.
but you don't feel at peace. And so you say, well, I still feel guilty, but it really, in fact, you just need space and permission to grieve. It's called disenfranchised grief. And it means you're not been free to do it. And one of the things that I love being able to connect with women and men in ministry is to give them that permission and help them see that hope that we have, that we can grieve with hope even after abortion.
Mm-hmm. Kim Cotola is my guest. Her website is Kim Cotola, KETOLA.com, KimCotola.com. Tim, I'm curious what you think about some of the terms that are being used today, terms like reproductive care when it comes to abortion.
Well, the reality is that elective abortion takes the life of an innocent human being. No one put it to me in those terms when they were having conversations with me about abortion as a solution to my problem of being pregnant and not married. No one put it to me in those terms, but when you put it in those terms, it's pretty easy to see that, well, the intentional killing of an innocent human being is wrong. Therefore, abortion is wrong. This is very plain language. And you know, I'll tell you, Bill, when your heart is breaking and you know that you've done something terribly wrong, to be placated with terms like reproductive care or reproductive rights or reproductive freedom, I think really adds to the confusion and it takes us farther from the truth, clearly takes us farther from the truth. And Jesus was so right when he said the truth sets us free. It's the truth that brings us into the light of understanding. And so, yeah, these terms are part of an old playbook, you know, that all the terms, they're refining some of them, but all the terms of deception that they used to make abortion legal in the first place are still in play, you know, talking about a termination, not abortion, talking about a fetus as if it's some other species or form of life other than a developing human being. I think that to the degree that we can sensitively speak truth, we ought to.
Kim, because it is physical, it's mental, it's spiritual, it's social. I mean, there's so many components to the decision that a woman is confronted with when it comes to being pregnant and wishing that they weren't pregnant. Even when I think of the fact that this fetus may have a completely, entirely different blood type than mom. I mean, it really, this little growing baby has been appointed by God to come into existence and to be redeemed one day.
And I don't know. Sorry. Go ahead.
And then that could stop.
Right. Well, your point is absolutely correct. Possibly a different blood type, but through the science of microchimerism, I don't know if we've ever talked about this one, Bill. Tufts University did work on this well over 10 years ago, though it's still not widely known. But microchimerism is the phenomenon whereby the fetus deposits his or her DNA into the mother's system, and fragments of it remain in her system.
Wow.
Throughout her lifespan, which for me, there's a biological imperative to making that reconciliation, because yes, a part of you has definitely been destroyed in an abortion. And it's, I think, also what explains why sometimes children, when they've been informed that they had a sibling aborted, will say, oh, I always knew I should have had an older brother. I think that they're, you know, because they're carrying part of their sibling's DNA through mom's DNA. It's an amazing miracle of God's creation when we think about this, but every single child has his or her own DNA separate from his or her mother. And so, yes, all of these arguments about, oh, it's part of her body, or even this crude notion that I hear lately, it's a parasite.
Oh, my.
Which, why wouldn't you want to destroy a parasite, right?
I mean, right.
Right. And so all of these things are medically incorrect. I mean, over 20 embryology textbooks agree that from conception forward, the zygote is a distinct, living, and whole human being. And so that's what a human body looks like at its earliest stages. Some people say, well, there's not even a body. Well, yeah, there is. The body starts as a zygote, you know, becomes an embryo, becomes a fetus, becomes a neonate, becomes an infant, a toddler. Old people like you and me, it's all, you're still the same. You're the same zygote that you once were.
Yeah.
There's nothing essential in your nature that's changed.
And I think of the unique individual creation that God is knitting together in the mother's womb. And when it comes time for birth, I mean, you can have a date in that's been given to you by the doctor, but the baby decides, and the baby releases these hormones to the mother saying, okay, it's time, I'm coming.
Yes.
And the baby's saying, I'm coming now. And they're calling the shots.
Yes. The baby drives the pregnancy. You're very correct about that as well. And the thing is, you know, in God's economy, Bill, there's no separation. There can be nothing closer than the mother and child knit together, right? As God does that in the miracle of new life. There can be nothing closer. And yet, not only here in the U.S., but everywhere in the world, the destruction of that, the separation of that, and all the deception that goes into keeping that racket going, because it's a racket. It's a for-profit business, you know, and to talk about how the profits are derived is extremely disturbing, and not many people want to go there, but I promise you that it's true. If you want to Google how it's happening most recently, take a look at University of Pittsburgh and University of California, San Diego, and fetal remains with the U.S. government and Planned Parenthood. And you'll see that there's a financial motive to keep abortion legal. And it's harrowing and very disturbing. And the thing that I think is most disturbing is that the biggest purchaser is the United States government through the National Institute of Health, doing fetal stem cell research, which makes all of us as taxpayers complicit in that racket. I mean, Bill, it's so much of a bigger problem than the individual woman who is often, not always, but is often deceived, exploited, abandoned to abortion, very often, much more often than many of us know.
We're going to come right back with Kim Cotola. I encourage you to go to her website and check it out, kimcotola.com. Her book is amazing. It's called Cradle My Heart, Feeling God's Love After Abortion. If you have a question or comment for Kim, 877-933-2484. Hi there and welcome. If you are a new listener, we want to officially welcome you with a free welcome packet gift. Request yours today at myfaithradio.com. So glad to have Kim Cotola on the show today. You can learn more about Kim at kimcotola.com. Her book is Cradle My Heart. Of course, you know of her her show on Faith Radio that lasted for a long time called Cradle My Heart. And she's been in the radio biz for quite a while, and she loves to help people recover from abortions and those that trauma that's associated with it. Kim, I have to say I've not been up on the news lately. I just sort of stopped watching news for a while, so I really don't know what's going on in the news regarding pro-life movement and some of the news stories. Do you have one or two to share?
Well, I think one of the most important developments is the fruition of abortion becoming an issue decided by states rather than a federal court decision, mm-hmm. which is what Roe v. Wade was. People may not understand that there was no legislative consensus by the votes of the people or the people's representatives that abortion should become legal when Roe v. Wade was decided. That was a judicial decision at the Supreme Court. And because of that, I think that's why it was so controversial. So now with the Dobbs decision that happened a couple of years ago now, states are deciding how they want to legislate regarding abortion. And I'm in Arizona, and we are just reverting to a law that has been on the books since the 1800s because the existing law when Dobbs was decided said if abortion becomes illegal with an overturn of Roe v. Wade, then Arizona law will revert to the statute. It's very complicated, but the deal is in Arizona, abortion is banned for the time being. It wasn't decided as policy, obviously, based on an 1800s law, but it means that the legislature will have to decide, and people will have a say in that. And I think there is a group that's gathering signatures now. They want 500,000, or they need 400,000 signatures to get abortion on the ballot in Arizona. I read recently they have 500,000. So I think Arizona is one of 13 states that now has a ban in place after Roe v. Wade was overturned. And, you know, people have varying feelings about that. Some say it should be a human right. It should be available in every state. And some states, there are 7 states, Bill, where you can get an abortion right up to birth. And right next door to Arizona in New Mexico, that's the case. Very late term abortion is legal. And so I can see that people would want an intellectual, a moral consistency to have a national policy on it. But that's where we are right now, is the states are deciding it. And so if it's an important issue to you, for your listeners who are in Minnesota, I know Faith Radio is regional and national operation. But for example, your flagship in Minnesota has become a sanctuary state because the neighboring states have banned it. And so there's a big enterprise to bring in women from other states in Minnesota. And again, in a for-profit business, people might argue with me about that, but that's the situation that Minnesota is in right now. So, you know, if you are uncomfortable with that, or if you want abortion to be banned or allowed in your state, it's time for all of us to let our voices be heard on it, you know. And the reality is, Bill, that most abortions that are happening now are medication abortions. That just happened since Dobbs. Over 1 million now. The numbers are growing as women are procuring pills either through telehealth or in-office visits, but also online and, you know, through back channels. And 63% of abortions are now carried out DIY in your home. And young women are walking into that with no idea of what the aftermath is going to do to them. And I've had the privilege to counsel with a few of them. And Anyone who thinks that this is a positive development on the landscape for women's health is sadly mistaken and really should take time to hear the voices of these women who've been so negatively impacted by this medication abortion.
Yeah, Kim, not to get graphic, but can you talk a little bit about some of the response these women have had to what they attempted in their home with pills they're getting over the internet?
You know, if you really want to know, Bill, I recommend everyone watch Abby Johnson's movie Unplanned. I have had the chance to talk with Abby and interview her a few times, but she depicts what happened when she took a medication abortion. And let me tell you, there is a 2 to 3 day process of bleeding. There is then the decision what to do with the remains. Mm. You know, it can't happen after 10 weeks, but at 9 weeks, it's possibly recognizable as a human fetus. And then in your home, you have to decide how to dispose of that and what to do. Women have told me they've continued to bleed for 2 weeks. Women have told me they went through it utterly alone. Well, yes, the abortion business that sold me the pills said I should have someone with me, but if I had someone, I wouldn't be doing this. And one woman said she immediately got physically sick almost in every way, such that, you know, after nausea and vomiting and everything else, she was afraid she was going to die. She was losing so much fluid from everywhere in her body. So, and I apologize, it is graphic, but people think, oh, that's simple. You'll just go, what, Walgreens and CVS sell them now, I think? You'll just go get your pill and you'll go home and it'll be as if you were never pregnant. That's one of the big lies. There's nothing that can make you unpregnant. You will always be the parent of a deceased child. If you're the mother who did that, or if you're the father who promoted it and paid for it and pressed for it. And so this is why, you know, I say, well, you can choose that, but you cannot choose your consequences. You have participated in taking an innocent life. And I knew that almost immediately, Bill, even though going into it, it was just problem solving. I didn't reflect on it on those terms, but I really believe it was the Holy Spirit who came to me right before it was to take place to give me that knowledge. And as the word tells us in Corinthians, to provide a way out. But I didn't know that voice and I didn't have any means of suddenly becoming a brave, honest person. And so I just was passive and went through with it. And in addition then to, you know, having done that, I had to deal with the knowledge that I was a passive, cowardly woman. And anyone who thinks that you can just get up and walk out of that facility and that's not going to change you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You think that through.
Yeah.
Praise God. You know, his mercy extends. And I tell people, you know, I do tell in more detail just so people will know how far the Lord went to bring me back to himself, because there's no mountain he won't climb up. Nope.
No river.
Coming back.
Yeah,
you.
No river too high, right. No mountain too high. I know that song.
All that yeah. Song. But it's so true. He's coming for us. Even if we're hiding out, even if we're still covering it up, even if we're broken and can never imagine facing him, he's coming after us with his love to gather him back to himself, make us new, give us a way of helping others to avoid that mistake or restore them as we've been restored. And his love is beyond nothing here on this earth can separate us from his love, or in heaven can separate us from his love. You know, but that doesn't mean that we should just go ahead and have this abortion. It's just our moral agency. I mean, every time I think of it, I'm healed. And I'll tell you, I don't think of it every day, Bill. But every time I do think of it, I wish I had that child. Yeah. I wish that I could have known and loved that child that I thought I didn't want.
Yeah, amen. Kim, thank you again for being on the show. It's always a delight to have you on.
I appreciate the opportunity, Bill. Hey, the book's being updated, so watch for that.
Fantastic. Kim Cotola has been my guest. Learn more about her book, Cradle My Heart, at kimcotola.com. That's our show. Whatever you have awaiting you this evening, I pray that God blesses your evening. Have a great night, and I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.